This podcast is brought to you by Dingle Mount Church. It will open up God's Word to you, inspire you to love God and grow in the knowledge of Him, and challenge you to live a victorious Christian life. Be blessed as you listen.
Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Revelation chapter 21. And I'll just read a verse of scripture as a foundation to the New Year message that I want to share with us this morning. Revelation chapter 21, and I'll read verse 5. And hopefully in the evening service, I'll still be speaking on the same thing, but just because it's a New Year Day service, for us to ask ourselves questions of what it means really. What makes a New Year happy? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. There's a great deal of talk, expectations, excitement about crossing over to a new year. And people are looking forward with anticipation to what God will do for them, for those who are Christians. And for those who are not, it's also a time of excitement. It's a whole new year, and people are excited. But truly, what makes a new year happy? Let's just see Revelation chapter 21, and this is talking about the new Jerusalem and the glory of the new Jerusalem that came down from above. And he says in verse 5, he says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" God is also interested in newness, in making things new. "And he said to me," he says, "write, for these words are true and they are faithful." Father, we just thank you this morning for this portion, just this verse of scripture, and many more that we'll be looking at this morning. Asking, Lord, that as we've come to examine and to ask ourselves that question, what truly makes a new year happy? Lord, we pray this morning that your Spirit will not just open the scriptures to us, but you will speak right into our hearts and meet us at the point of our need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those that obviously came for the Passover, or what you call the watch night service, which is a time that some churches, not all churches, but some come together to pray, to wait on God, and to usher in the new year. And in some places, there's a lot of excitement in churches when people come together, not just to thank God for what has happened in the previous year, but they are looking forward in anticipation to what God will do in the new year, or what the new year holds for them as a church, or for individuals, or it could be for families. And of course, when we crossed over to the new year, people went around and hugged each other, and everyone said, "Happy New Year." Some people sent text messages. My phone never stopped going off when it was 12 o'clock from different places, London, Nigeria, Manchester, all over, saying, "Happy New Year." And I'm sure that the same thing must have happened to you. Either you said Happy New Year to someone, or you got a greeting saying Happy New Year. And the question that, like I said, we are asking ourselves this morning is, what exactly makes the new year happy for us? Because while thousands all over the world, or even I should say millions all over the world, on the first day of the new year will shout Happy New Year with excitement, with hope, with anticipation that 2015 has come, yet some others will awaken that same morning with the old burdens, with the old problems they've always had as before. So instead of a Happy New Year, for those of us that we know who are not Christians, for some of them, the new year was a new year filled with sorrow. And some will say a terrible hangover for those who went to parties and got drunk and then woke up the next morning. So the question is, what really makes the new year happy? Is there something about 12 o'clock, when the clock strikes 12, that ushers in this great transformation or change that suddenly begins to take place? And that's what we want to look at this morning, because it's so easy for people to assume that 2012, 2013, 2014, once you cross over to a new year, that automatically things will begin to happen, or the change that you've once prayed for, or that you've once expected, you've hoped for, you prayed for, all of a sudden begins to happen. But like I said, for some, it will be a glorious new year, while for others, it may not be. There's a scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9, I think this is the words of the preacher. And listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9. Because don't forget, the book of Ecclesiastes was his search or his quest for meaning in life. And he says, that which has been, he says, is what will be. He says, that which is done is what will be done. He says, and there is nothing new under the sun. So for those who are expecting 2015 to be new or to be different, now this is a man who was searching for meaning in life apart from God and saying, well, we've seen it all before. There's nothing really new. Those things that we call new are things that have happened before, are things maybe we've seen before, but for some reason it's a new experience for those who are going to experience them. But we know that for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, the scripture tells us that if any man is in Christ Jesus, behold, all things, those things that have been, that we once enjoyed, the things that we lived in, they're all gone. Behold, all things, the man, the woman, have now become a new creature. So yes, in a way we can say things are the same all around us, all over the world. Nothing special about the new year. But for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is always something new about that relationship. There is always something that God is calling us into. There is always something that we can experience in Christ Jesus. And so I'm going to be showing us this morning just about maybe three or four things that really makes a new year happy. And if any of these things are missing, maybe in your life as a person, or it could be in the lives of the people you know, the question is, can they truly say that this, for them, will be a very happy new year? And I think the first place to start is that scripture we have in John chapter 3. A very familiar scripture, but it's good for us to look at that scripture again. Look at John chapter 3. And the first thing that we need to consider is the concept of the new birth. When we talk about being born again, look at John chapter 3, because it talks about newness. In John chapter 3, from verses 3 to verse 5, he says there, Jesus answered. Remember, this was the man named Nicodemus who came to him and was asking him what he needed to do. Teacher, he says, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And verse 3 says, Jesus then answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one, listen to what he's saying there, is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born? He says, when he's old. He says, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he says, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And this is where everything starts. It's no use for us to talk about a new year, happy new year, especially for those who have not come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Like I said, on the 31st night, there were people who, of course, their lives is nothing close to the kind of relationship that God would expect of them. And I think that's the beginning point. So many years before I gave my life to Christ, I was always looking in anticipation for what the new year held for me. Every 31st night, I can't forget it, I always have to spend it right inside the church. Because obviously there was that fear. I didn't want to die. Maybe I might stay outside of church and something happens and people cross over to the new year and I wouldn't be part of it. So you see, people flock into the churches because they feel, oh, we need to get over to the new year. But the question is, for those who have gathered, the question or the beginning point or the starting point is, how is that relationship? What is your relationship with God? Have you come to know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you experienced that transformatory power that comes through the Holy Spirit that changes and ushers you into a new beginning? I must say to us this morning that no matter the expectation you have for the new year, it starts with knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you haven't experienced the new birth, that is the place to start. If you haven't been transformed, as he says here, how can a man be born when he's already old? It's more or less like saying, well, I'm already old, and is there anything new that can come out of my life? The reality is that when you come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, not only does He cleanse and forgive sins, but He gives you that spirit, the ability to begin to live for Him. And He says, all things have become new. So the new birth is very, very important. If you look at John chapter 1, look at John chapter 1 verse 12, and it tells us that it takes place upon receiving Jesus Christ by faith, and that's what it is. Because I don't want to assume that everyone in this room have already come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And there's that desire that they want to please Him, they want to walk with Him, and they're expecting something from Him. It's just like a father-son relationship. If I have a son, I've got a relationship with my son, and as he grows older, I want to get to know him better. He wants to get to know me better. And if all he is coming to me for is to get, to receive, and that's what people do. They only come to God, you know, that's like the first night, and then into the new year, and they're looking forward to, oh, what will God do for me? What will He give me? What will I receive from Him? But they've never asked themselves, what does God require from me? What does He want me to do? And this is what the scripture says, John 1:12. But as many as received Him, He says, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. He says, even to those who believe in His name. Look at verse 13. He says, who were born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that is where it begins. The new birth takes place upon receiving Christ by faith. So if you haven't done that, this is a new year. I think this is the best time to do so. This is the best time to ask Jesus to come into your life. This is the best time to say, this is the beginning of a brand new year. I want a new walk with God. I want to put the old things behind me. I want it truly to be a happy year. Remember when you read the book of Psalms, it uses that word happy a lot. Happy is the man. And some translations we say, blessed is the man. And it talks about the relationship. It talks about the man whose way pleases the Lord. It talks about the man who have come to acknowledge God as his Lord and as the guide in his life. Happy is that man. And this morning, can you confidently say that you have that relationship, and truly that happy are you, and that when you say Happy New Year, that is a reflection of your relationship with God. So the first thing to think about, or that will make this year really happy for those who have not come to this point, is the necessity of the new birth. But what about those who have come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? There is still something more. Romans chapter 6 verse 14. And this is another thing that makes the new year happy for us who have come to know Jesus. If you go to Romans chapter 6, and I want to show us verse 14. And you can see that it's not just about coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because when we come to know Him, we are still going through battles. There are things that try to stop us. And it's about a new walk. And that's the second thing. Not just the new birth, but a new walk. Because I can be born again, I can be transformed, and yet not living the way that God wants me to live. And look at verse 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That includes me, speaking right here from the pulpit. It says, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We've come under new governance. And when we've come under that new governance through the Spirit of the Almighty God, now what happens is that God is saying to us, sin should not have dominion over us. And then when you read from verses 15 onwards, you can see that Paul spoke a lot about being slaves of sin and also be comparing to being slaves of God. In other words, when God draws us into a relationship in the new year, all God is saying to us is, now you've come to know me, sin will not have dominion over you. But we know how many people can confidently look at God in the new year and say, you know what, I've been able, through the help of the Holy Spirit, to overcome. That even in those areas where I have failed over and over again, that God is giving me grace to overcome and to live for Him. He says in verse 15, he says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? He says, certainly not. So you can see that for those of us who have come to know Jesus, apart from the necessity of that new birth, there is that new walk that God is calling us to walk. And that is that we should live lives that are pleasing for Him. Let me say this to us, There is no one more miserable than the believer who doesn't live right. And I can tell you that there is no one more miserable than a believer who knows what he should do, who knows the requirements of God, and then crosses over to the new year and carries on with the old ways of life, the old patterns, the same things, the places where he's fallen over and over and over and over again. And that carries on. People on the outside may not see it. The person might look happy and excited that he's crossed over to a new year. But you go and ask him if he's truly honest in his relationship. He will tell you that there is something on the inside. It may be a happy new year, but for him on the spirit, on the inside, it is truly not a happy year. Because the struggles are real. He's failed over and over again, but God is calling us to a new walk with him. So it should be more of a determination for each one of us. It's a new year. Yes, but God is calling me to a new walk. What I had to do a few days before we got to the 31st night, I sat down, more like taking an inventory over my life, and I asked myself questions. In what areas do I need to experience newness? In what areas is God calling me higher? In what areas do I need to strengthen my relationship with God? And these are questions that I think that as Christians, we should be asking ourselves. If you go to the book of Galatians, and in the book of Galatians, you remember Paul writing to the Galatian Christians, and he does contrast the walk of the Spirit and the walk of the flesh. And all he's trying to say to them is, this is who you used to be. In the years gone by, this is how you lived, this is how you walked. But now, God is calling you to begin to walk according to the Spirit. And I think that is a good way to start a new year. To say to yourself, maybe I'm a Christian, born again, but I've been walking in the flesh. But now this is a time to begin to listen more to the Spirit, to begin to be controlled and led by the Spirit of God. Look at Galatians 5 and verse 16. What does it say? It says, I say then, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's the walk we are talking about. Walk. Because right from the beginning of this year, it's going to be a walk. All through to the end of this year, 2015. The question is, what will that walk be? Will that walk be characterized by listening to the voice of the Spirit? By doing what God tells you to do? By obeying Him? By that zeal that you want to serve Him and want to know Him? He says in verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. But look at verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, it says you are not under the law. And that's where it is. If you are led by the Spirit. And so in 2015, the question we should be asking is, yes, I may have experienced a new birth, but am I experiencing that new walk, that guidance, that leading by the Spirit? Or am I still being, my life being run by the works of the flesh? And if you look again in book of Ephesians, I think this was when Paul was writing to them and comparing their walk before and after. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, from verses 1, Paul had a lot to say to them in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, from verses 1 down to verse 16. And look at what he says there. He says, therefore, be followers of God as their children. Be followers of Him. And he says in verse 2, and walk in love. You see that again? It's about the walk. Or maybe for the past years, I haven't been walking in the love that God is calling me to. He says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given us Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. He says, for a sweet smelling aroma. Look at verse 3. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, he says, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Look at verse 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. And these are things that you can find even in the life of a believer. And as the year goes by, the question is, what is the Christian doing to free himself to walk in love and to walk as the Bible calls him to walk in? He says, foolish talking, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather, see what he says, giving of thanks. He says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And remember that the kingdom of God in Revelation 21, it talks about the new heavens and the new earth. And it tells us that it's only those whose life have been transformed, who have come into this new relationship, will truly say that it is a new phase of their existence. And you can see God is holding its intention for us. This is who you were. This is who I want you to be. Look at verse 6 there. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Let no one deceive you. Because it's so easy for people to be deceived. For you to walk into a church, maybe it could be the 31st night or whenever, and all that is being proclaimed upon you is blessings. That in 2015 is all about God giving you and expanding your coast and doing all. But no one seems to remind us that there is also a requirement of us. That for every privilege that God gives us, there is a responsibility that comes as well with it. It's one thing to claim to be a son. It's another thing for you to live to please your father. And this is what Paul is saying to them. Don't let anyone deceive you. We can confidently say it's a new year because we have been born again. And not because we've been born again, but because we are walking according to the way that God wants us to walk. Go again to 2 Peter and you see the emphasis in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 2, listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 from verses 1 to 3. And I think what Peter is saying there is that for us to practice this new walk, we must feed the new man. And that is what he's trying to say. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and from verses 1 to 3. There, in 2 Peter 2, it says, but there were also, it says, four prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, it says, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves, it says, swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Verse 3 says, by covetousness they will exploit you. See the same thing we talked about with deceptive words. For a long time, he says, their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. In other words, the same thing will happen. People will come in secretly, try to deceive you, and we see that deception happening all the time in the body of Christ. And this is why Paul, Peter, and all the apostles, those that wrote to us, are saying to us, we need to be on guard. There is nothing new for anyone who allows himself to be deceived. There is nothing new about a year for anyone who is not feeding his spirit, guarding the things that God has committed into his hand. What else are we talking about for the new year that truly will make this year happy for us? Go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And I spoke on this, I think, last Sunday briefly, but I just want to highlight it a little bit again. Philippians chapter 3. If you go to Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13 and verse 14. I mentioned this when I was speaking on not looking back. But look at verse 13 of Philippians chapter 3. And this is Paul talking about pressing towards the goal. And he says there, let me start from 12. Not that I have already attained. He says, I'm already perfected. Look at what he says. He says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. He says, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead of me. And verse 14 says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And what are we talking about here that will make the year truly happy for us? And that is a new goal. So you can see the progression of our thought on what we're looking at. The new birth, which is where it all starts from. The new walk, which God is calling us in for after we've given our life to Christ. And then the new goal. And this should be what you find in the life of every Christian. Every year, you look inwards and ask yourself question. Alright, I'm born again. I'm saved. So what? Alright, maybe God is calling me to a new walk. In what areas am I called to walk with Him in a greater way and in intimacy in the new year? And then God begins to show you not just that, but a new goal. If you look at Paul's life, you know that Paul had past goals. He was persecuting the church, and that was what his life was all about. He was going about killing and maiming and destroying the church. That was his goal. But then he met with God. And you can see what happened. The new birth took place. And then the new walk. And then the new goal. So he set a new goal for himself. That if this is what God is calling me to, then my goal now, he says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that is what every Christian should aspire to reach for. He said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I love the way some translations put it. He says, I do not count myself to have arrived. And sometimes that's how some Christians see it, or that's how they look at their lives. When they cross over to a new year, they say, you know what? I've truly arrived, spiritually speaking. Everything is okay. I've prayed, I've fasted, I've done it all. So what else is there to do? But you know what? In God, in Christ Jesus, there is still more. The Bible tells us that we all, as we appear before Him, we are changed, we are transformed from one level of glory, says, to another level of glory. They go from strength to strength as they appear before God in Zion. So that is what it's all about. There is always a higher call. There is always something more in Christ Jesus. And He says, this is what I do. I forget those things which are behind me. I don't know what are the things that maybe you need to forget in your past. I don't know what are the things that may have jogged your steps all through 2014. And as you've crossed over 2015, I don't know whether you've resolved in your heart that 2015 should be a different and a new year in terms of the new goals that you set for yourself. I think a few days ago, I had a conversation with my wife, and we just had a chat. I said, let's look at our spiritual life. Let's look at the family. We've got little kids and all that. What spiritual goals? What are the things that we need to in our relationship with God? How can we make it better? What are the things that God may be calling us to do? What are the areas we need to press on in that relationship? And I think that as for families, that's what families should also be talking about. As individuals, that's what you should be looking into. Asking yourself questions. What are those areas? What are those goals? What are those areas of my life that God may be saying to me, I need to bring to life? If you read, I think this is the book of Revelations, time won't permit me, where God was speaking, the Spirit of God was speaking to the churches. And some of the churches, you see, were already dead. And God was saying to them, say, you revive, bring back to life those things. He says, which are alive, but are about to die. And that tells you that sometimes there could be things in your life, although it's still alive, has signs of life, but maybe it's on its way out. And God is saying, you be careful. You watch out. If it carries on that way, you may be disappointed at the end of the year. And that's what Paul is saying, forgetting those things that are behind me, forgetting those past victories, forgetting those things that have accomplished maybe in your past. But God is saying to you, this is a whole new era. This is something, a new year. You may have said it is a happy year, but if you haven't got a new goal for this year in terms of your relationship with God, and you truly look at Him or look at others and say, you know what, it's going to be a happy year for me, you might as well go back home and reorder your priorities, because that's what Paul is talking about. Merely he embraced that goal. It became the ultimate, the priority, the driving force of his life. And he's saying, no matter what I've done, no matter what has held me back before, I'm willing to let it go. I'm willing now to press on the upward way. There was a church I went to, I think this was a few days ago, and that was one of the songs that we are singing. We are pressing on to the upward way. It's like a, written like a hymn, and it says that God is calling them higher, and they are pressing on to the upward way. And I think that is the call of the hour. Not just that God is saying, you have come, crossed over, a new year, you're born again. Well, there is a new walk, but what goals have you set? Spiritually speaking, how hard are you pressing? Because that word press, read it in the original, it talks about concerted effort. You have to, it's an effort that goes into it. It just doesn't come easy. Because there is an enemy who wants to stop you. There are things that will happen, maybe in this year, that will discourage your heart. And you begin to question even the very faith that you have. But as you walk towards it, as the scripture says, walking out your salvation, it says, with fear and trembling. And truly, at the end of it, you can look back and say, this is a happy year. Because not only are you saved, not only do you have a new walk with God, but also because you have a new goal. And I pray that everyone of here this morning will truly examine our hearts and take home what Paul, and not just Paul, but the scriptures that we read in John, in Romans, and also in Philippians, and how he speaks into our hearts. Shall we just bow our hearts this morning and look inwards for a few seconds?
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, why not join us in worship at the Dingle Mount Church, or log on to our website at www.dinglemount.org for more information. Thank you for listening.